Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Welcome back. It is Joe Beamer in for Mark Reardon here on 97.1 FM Talk. And we'll be connecting with Charles Lipson in just a few moments, talking about Ukraine and also the Middle East. As we heard on Friday, the president had a meeting with Vladimir Zelensky yesterday. Our friend Jeff Mordock was there. He was giving us the preview on Friday's show. And, that seemingly positive things were said afterwards. And then the president had a conversation on the phone with Vladimir Putin. And he's also today speaking with Benjamin Netanyahu, the Israeli prime minister. And all that stuff we will obviously be getting updates on. And without further ado, let's welcome in Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago, Charles Lipson. You can also read him on The Spectator, Real Clear Politics, and others. Charles, welcome back to the show.
My pleasure, Joe.
So yesterday we had this this meeting with Zelensky and Trump. And Charles, you know, it seems like a kind of thing that we don't hear anything about for a few months. And then all of a sudden, both leaders are talking with the president. So where do we stand on this conflict?
My own sense is that it's a lot of sound and fury signifying very little. And the reason I think that is because I think that the minimal demands that Russia has are simply not acceptable for not only Zelensky, but nearly all Ukrainians. The Russians not only want to take the Donbass, they want to take over a series of fortified towns that, once taken, would give them entree to the rest of the country were the Russians to break the peace settlement, which they have done with every other peace settlement.
So what is this going to look like? I mean, is this going to be a conflict that continues to go on for years? What does the end, a realistic end to this, look like?
Well, it's almost impossible to say, but let me just say it's a war of attrition, and wars of attrition are won by the side that can stay in it the longest. Putin thinks he's actually winning. That's why he doesn't want to compromise. He also may not think he can survive, not just politically, but above the grass, if he gives into a compromise solution after having lost so many people and so much money in the fight for so little. So that's the real problem. I think that the problem in the West is that the Europeans in particular think that this wouldn't be the end of Putin or the Russians' effort to gobble up territory, which they might do in the Baltic states and so forth. So I think the most likely outcome is that the Europeans pay for American weapons. Let me say one more thing. I think that what Zelensky learned something from his meeting last February with President Trump, where they got into a public fight. He doesn't want to do that again. That's always a mistake. What he wants to do is make clear to the president, especially, and to his advisors, that the obstacle to peace is not Zelensky, it's Putin. And that's the only hope for keeping the Americans on the Ukrainian side.
You know, Charles, I'm not a big fan of whataboutism, but I do in this situation. Mm-hmm. If President Trump was not president and, say, mm-hmm. Kamala Harris had won, or Joe Biden somehow was still president, what would be going on right now with this conflict, do you believe?
Well, this is an odd one because the Democrats have actually been more in favor of arming Ukraine and supporting than at least the Trumpian wing of the Republican Party. The problem is that the wing of the party that is now more and more ascendant within the Democratic Party is the very far left, and they want to spend all their money on welfare.
Yeah, to me, it's so interesting how many times Trump has talked to both Zelensky and Putin, and you really weren't seeing that kind of approach from the last administration. I mean, it's as if
last administration did, Joe, was they armed Ukraine, but they did it too slowly and always a day late and a dollar short. And the result is that they prolonged the war. Trump doesn't want to prolong the war, but in the end, he may face a choice between prolonging the war and losing the war on his watch.
Do you think would there ever have been a threat of American military involved in this war on the ground?
Not on the ground. The deals that have been floated for a peace treaty would involve European troops on the ground. These would be from NATO countries, but without Ukraine being part of NATO, and American air power. And of course, America is already providing a lot of satellite intelligence to the Ukrainians.
Now, Netanyahu was also meeting with the president today. Mm-hmm. And you know, that is a peace deal that we have still seen back and forth fighting. What is the stability in the Middle East and with Israel as we speak?
The first thing to understand about Israel is that it is an incredibly dynamic, growing economy. The reason that and it is undefeated militarily. That doesn't mean that it has won all of its battles in the sense of being able to absolutely maintain control over some of the West Bank and Gaza Strip. But that's the reason that the Arab Muslim countries and some Muslim countries beyond the Arab world have made peace with Israel. The problem is nobody can figure out how to reconstruct Gaza as long as you still have Hamas there. And Israel, though it has taken out a lot of Hamas, Hamas seems to be able to continue recruiting. But that's not just a problem in Gaza. We can see that that's a problem in Nigeria and a lot of other countries where there are these extremist Islamist movements, and they're very hard to extinguish because they're not like an organized army in one location where you can beat them at the battle at some big battle and you've won the war.
Yeah, to that point, you know, these airstrikes that were carried out, to take out certain members of ISIS. At the end of the day, what kind of damage does that do to these groups that, you know, want to continue the chaos in the Middle East?
Well, it limits their capacity to inflict damage on their opponents. It's hard to tell whether it increases or decreases their ability to recruit. It increases their profile, so some young kids want to join, but it also sort of indicates to them that you join, you die. So that's a big problem for them. But my sense, the Israelis always spoke of this as mowing the grass. And mowing the grass means that the grass always grows up again, but you don't let it overgrow the yard. The thing is that what happened in Gaza indicated to the Israelis that they had to do more than simply try to mow the grass. They had to actually try to root out Hamas. But the problem there is that who is going to establish a force on the ground to keep order? The Israelis don't want countries like Turkey in there because they think Turkey will side with Hamas.
Interesting. Professor, always great catching up with you. I hope you have a wonderful new year and look forward to talking with you in 2026.
Thank you, Joe. Have a happy new year, and to all your audience in St. Louis, the same to them.
Thank you. That is Professor Charles Lipson. He is Professor Emeritus at the University of Chicago. He writes regularly for the Spectator magazine, Real Clear Politics, and others. You can find his columns available for free at charleslipson.com. When we come back, Curtis Hoke is joining us. He's the managing editor of Newsbusters at the Media Research Center, looking back on fake news and more after this.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.